Quarter three.
After the meeting at four.
Now, how much I do about it, what is the event of the power point, or do you think that some, if the village can prove the need, they will then invest on the hard foot. And I do know that all the ones who have hard foot, because it's beforehand, it's human, and so we can know that, and therefore we have to intervene from it. Not much I do about the project, but we have to do it. Honourable members of the HLP, which will be a very fun to be trading this afternoon to my presentation, and will indeed be quick as requested by the case. We are not going to read through the presentation and talk to it. Please allow me to introduce our delegation here this afternoon. We've got some new faces here today, so before you see the generous visitors, they are our members of the department. I'll be critic, quite a few times. Next to me is Julius Zani, who is our head, one of the FDDs in the department. Next to me, I've got the Dr. Bernardus Panasai, who is director for the of support. So now, we write another new face, Alison Virgil. She's director of the department for more. She's director of sports support services. We've also brought our money man with us, Mr. Fosu Masala. He's the chief financial officer. And I'm sure you all know the Malawi quite well.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Mohammed Suleiman, representing the Northern Cape, and a proud member of the Africa National Congress.
I'm Samuel Mahula, representing the Western Cape Agency, and an extremely sound member of the
We've done some slight amendments to the strategic plan that we have. As you know, a strategic plan is not a document that we write a new one every year. We've just amended to fall in line with the immediate changes to take place within our sporting environment. We also just want to give notice to the chair that we are in the process of revising our white paper. In fact, our new white paper, the first draft we would like to present to by the end of November, which is going to be called our plan for sports for the country. There's been a request that we draft us a new white paper for the minister. We presented our strategic plan to our ministers and they've accepted that, so we're tabling the report as we speak to Parliament. We start off with a preamble, and I'm sure, as you said, members have received the document, they've gone through it. But of the evidence kept environment in which we operate, then we have the fact that the driver, where do we get our mandate from? And obviously you'll see on the sixth line of the first page, those who are on the sixth line of the page, what drives us at SRSA, and it's where we get our mandate from. It comes right from the status, from the president today. It comes from the government cluster. It comes from cabinet parliament. It comes from the NCOP. It comes from the portfolio committee and our ministers. Then we have identified 20 of the priorities identified by the president in the next two slides, which we think are relevant to what we do here. And there we've listed the 20. The next are the clusters which we operate. We have listed all the priorities of the clusters which eventually form what we call a program of action for government. We are obviously part of three clusters: the government administration cluster, the international relations peace and security cluster, and our core cluster, where we find most relevant in our the social sector cluster here. Then I'm going to go straight to where you want us to go say what is our vision as a department. And our vision is about to create an active and a winning nation. Active nation, we want to see obviously more people participate, more people become involved in health lifestyle. And a winning nation is not just about winning on the field, but have a sense of victory wherever we are, wherever we are, at whatever level we perform. Our mission is to improve the quality of life of all South Africans by creating an environment that gives us to maximize the exit, participation in sport recreation, and the possibility of winning performances, as well as hosting and participating in world-class events that enhance nation building. What we've added for the first time here, our values, our previous strategic plans, which are their values, we've added values. The values are accountability, communication, dedication, honesty, innovation, integrity, and transparency. And you'll find quite a few of them here resonate also with about the fellow principles that really guide us in civil service. We've also, for the first time, listed what we call, what we regard as our core clients. And obviously, generically speaking, our clients who we have to deliver are the people of our country as they find themselves, particularly in the sports federation. In boxing South Africa Institute for Drug Free Sport, local sports council, NGOs, private sector, communities, international and continental organizations, parliament, government departments, and local authorities. Share our objectives. I'm going to ask Alison to take us briefly through our objectives. I'll be passing the baton as we go along here. So, Alison, so we got your picture that you thought, so if you could take us through the objectives, I'd appreciate that. Over to you, Alison.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Greg. I thought when you were talking about objectives that we were going to carry on, and that back and we're still going to deal with it. And Chairperson, I'm going to try and deal with the objectives as well as the projects simultaneously, because there can be a duplication on that. So in terms of objective one, essentially the issue is getting people to become active. As the Minister stated yesterday, clarity starts at home, and maybe we need to be changing that and saying activity starts at home. And that each one of us as potential role models should be starting to get active and to ensure that other people get active as well. We started from a fairly low base, probably back in about 1995, with 15% of the population being active, and we're now up to about 25%. So we're improving the activity levels of people in the country. Obviously, within the context of South Africa at this point in time, we still need to be ensuring that we ensure that people are mainstream who have previously been marginalised, and in that way try and address the issues that the presidency in particular has been pushing, but Parliament as well. In terms of objective number two, for various reasons it seems as though sport and recreation may have fallen off the agenda of some parts of government. And it's important for us to have some evidence of the benefits of sport and recreation that we can take around the government in particular, and outside sponsors, for example, to say this is what sport and recreation can actually do for you and for us as a whole. yesterday I was at a meeting to do with backlogs, in particularly in water provision and sanitation and electrification. And it's very difficult in the context of people saying that there are still people in South Africa who are drinking from the same water supplies as animals, for us to be arguing the case of water recreation. So we need tangible evidence of the benefits, particularly economic benefits, so that can help to grow the economy and particularly the health benefits as well. We obviously have a very high-flying aim to try and increase the budget, which means that we're going to have a very, very good case for being put forward in that context. Objective number three, the probability of success for South African teams. And this is probably a two-pronged approach. One is through our international connections, to ensure that we exchange expertise, whether it's coaching level or just sports science level, and to ensure that we get the best that we can for our athletes. Currently, we seem to be thinking that our rugby team may do quite well, because they're doing quite well in the Super 14. But we can't actually predict those types of things, and cricket obviously didn't do them so well. And yesterday as well, I was being asked by the DG of 2010, what are we doing to ensure that Bafana performs well in 2010, with all of the components of that as well. Objective number four, again, we take water becoming a driving force for us, but we also need to address other areas, particularly in terms of the Millennium Development Goals that we have, various UN conventions, as well as the priorities in South Africa, to ensure that we're putting everything back into place that seems to have fallen forward. Objective number five, the 2010 FIFA World Cup. We need to ensure somewhere along the line that we have South African spectators in Australia. In many instances, when there are international events that come around, we're not very good at ensuring the stadia are filled. So what we believe is important is to ensure that we have a vibe being developed from now onwards, so that people, you know, catch the bug of football across the country. And that we also start looking at issues that the minister is very keen on, which is that of good governance, not only in football but in sports federations across the board. Within that context, one of the legacy components of 2010, we believe, is the training of volunteers. So we intend to work very closely with the LOC to ensure that all types of volunteers appropriate to the game are actually trained in conjunction with other government departments and other stakeholders. The priorities, we've spoken, I've tried to cover quite a lot of those. In terms of streamlining the responsibilities, honourable members will remember that there was a ministerial task team by the previous minister, Tunde Balfour, where it was decided that we should try and ensure that there are two major components of sport, one being Sport and Recreation South Africa and the other being the South African Sports Confederation Olympic Committee. But overall, with the minister, they still maintain the responsibility for Sport and Recreation as a whole. That is pretty much in place now. We need also to ascertain the backlog in facilities, and so we're doing an audit on that process to ensure that we know what facilities we should be building where, so we do it on a more scientific and planned basis than was previously done. And we need to ensure that education and training happens, people get active through our mass participation program, that we support SASCOC through the National Academy program, which is now in place, and that we try and ensure that sport and recreation goes to the people so that we can contribute to transformation more and more. We need to develop some kind of code of ethics. In other countries, for example, coaches who happen to be male are not allowed to stay after hours with an athlete on her own who happens to be female. People who have access to money to ensure it doesn't go into the wrong pocket, those types of things need to be developed. Increasing the budget, in particular, I'm very keen on this. The budget for federations, for example, 2 years ago was in the region of 45 million. This year's budget for federations is 20 million. In that budget, currently, there is nothing for SASCOC, which is apparently, and I've emphasized apparently, the Minister of Finance has indicated that that may have been an omission, so we need to address that. The development of clubs is key because that is essentially the deliverable, the area of delivery for us, in the same way as municipalities or the delivery agency in government. We need to be looking also at a legacy component, perhaps through training other countries around us in Zone 6 as well, mainstreaming people with disabilities, women, children. Indigenous games obviously very important, and in continuing, Chairperson, to implement the provisions of the memorandum of agreement with the Department of Education. We also need to be trying to coordinate things better. So we discovered the other day that SALGA has a municipal games at provincial level. We also have the South African games organized by SASCOC, and we have the Love Life games, we have school sports games, etc., etc. So hopefully through the national plan we'll be able to try and coordinate that, because all of those games are effectively looking at the same sports and same age groups in our particular area. So all of this is trying to lead to maximizing success in our teams, but also getting people more active in sport and recreation. We also need to be trying to increase the number of people who are coming to South Africa for sport and recreation, so that we can increase sports tourism. The international exchange program is important. So all of these things, facilities is important, etc., etc. So Chairperson, I'm not going to waste the committee's time anymore, and I'm going to hand the baton back to Mr. Frederick.
What we intend to do is by the SIDP to identify the gaps between our current state of delivery and the desired state of delivery. And we will also then put certain tools in place to ensure that we can monitor when we're going to reach that stage of the desired state. The APIPs, Chairperson, are also informed by the strategic plan. We do see the strategic plan as the overall direction for the department that will then also be culminated into the different business plans of the different units, and then you will have your service delivery plan that will indicate how can the department improve on the services delivered to the clients of the department. Then, Chairperson, as you know, there's also a 2010 unit within the department, looking at all the line function responsibilities of the department towards 2010. Unfortunately, their representative couldn't make it today, but the key focus areas of the 2010 unit is the coordination of all intergovernmental and intragovernmental relations and to provide institutional support 2010 FIFA World Cup as the national program. They also can ensure the provision of infrastructure to support the host cities to deliver their commitments contained in the host cities agreement. Then also they have to assist the sector departments to translate the 17 FIFA World Cup guarantees into action plans. The 2010 unit also assists with the monitoring and to assess progress on the state of readiness in all the 2010 FIFA World Cup related projects. Also responsible for the technical and secretarial support to the infrastructures in place to run the 2010 FIFA World Cup arrangement, namely the Interministerial Committee and the Technical Coordinating Committee. They also coordinate and liaise with the 2010 FIFA World Cup LOC on specific projects, for example, your African Legacy Program. And then they also are the key focal point to liaise and cooperate with all the other key role players and stakeholders involved in the preparation of the 2010 FIFA World Cup.
Thank you, Chair. I think what we've done today very, very briefly was contained in the document. To outline to you how we address the priorities of the government, how we address our own objectives and priorities, and what our programs that we need to do to be able to do that. And I think lastly, we talked about the strategy of the two aspects. One being, what do we do to improve our services on a year-on-year basis? And lastly, our very important task of the department as far as the coordination of the 2010 responsibilities are concerned. We will now go over to our CFO will deal with the budget presentation, and you'll see there we, as a department, as you know, we were used to working with small things. Remember when I started 10 years ago in the department, 37 million. Today we have some billions in the department. Although we mustn't get too happy about it because we know most of it is for 2010. We obviously, as you see in one of our slides, our objective is to get the department total budget to a billion once 2010 is to with your help, if you could do that.
I was a little confused because I saw the one that I did, but it was
we know that the 2.7 of the 3.1 billion is for 2010. Our strategy is just more than 400 million in this state as a department, and we want to get it to a billion. I will hand over to Mr. Maslala.
So thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honorable Members. And thank you to my colleagues. And what is initiated, we need some resources. And the government resources that are pooled or used in this project of quantum initiated are presented in terms of the budget that we see in front of us there. That our budget has been growing. If you look at the first column we showed to 2003-2004, the trend is that our budget has been growing over the year. The most increase you can see in 2006-2007 where the 2010 project is about 614 million. And that plan continues for 2708 and 20809. With the bulk of our budget for especially this cycle where the 2010 in MTF is very influential, our budget is in terms of billions also. But then if you look at also at the slide, our admin and our most important project for support services, mass participation, international liaison, facilities coordination. It shows a breakdown of how all of these projects, how much they could do per annum. If you go to the second slide, it shows you have the MTF allocation from 2540, which also shows us an increasing trend, which should be used by the department to achieve its aims and objectives and fulfill the mandate of the department. The second slide shows you the graphical overview of our budget and confirms that the budget has been increasing. But as you can see that when the activities of 2010 scale down, the budget will also reduce as a result of that. So after 2010, our budget will be on a decreasing trend and gain a certain momentum according to, that will be also be informed in the new priorities that will be identified after 2010. There's also a graphical view that for this current year, in which you are already almost 6 weeks into the new year, it shows how the pie of sports competition in South Africa is divided. 86% of the budget for this current year is consumed by the 2010 project, different amount showing on the left of 2.7 billion. The last slide shows you the core drivers of the import of the department, which are compensation, goods and services, transfer payments, and capital assets. If you see the core drivers, also the largest amount on the core drivers, it will be 93%. In this transfer payment, the larger part also is the transfer for the construction work for the 2010 stadium. Also, the next slide shows you the breakdown of the transfer payments and province as follows, and you can see also that the whole city, which is the construction of the stadium, takes about 91%. The federation takes about 79%, which it has been indicated that this amount has decreased compared to the 45 million in the previous year. That last game obtained about 25 million on the allocation. And thank you.
Yeah, I think that one of the things I'd like to go back to the previous slide one, I'd like to point out is that we transfer an amount of 194 million to the provinces through a division of revenue grant. And I think that we feel really proud of this achievement here. A few years ago, we realized that most of our provinces, the allocation for sport in the provinces was actually soft. We did an analysis of how much money each province had for sport. And we found that at that time it was really just a decent sum of money, no programs to be implemented. And we went to Treasury to find funds for the metro recitation program, for school metro recitation program, for a club development program. And as you can see, the current financial year, we transfer 194 million to the provinces. It's going to grow to 402 million rand in the 2008-2009-2010 financial year. And I think that is one of the achievements of the department that we can really highlight here this morning. I'm not going to ask Mr. Rizani to do the short presentation of the human resources.
I'm going to
because we are aligned with the fact that we aim whatever is happening to achieve what we want to achieve, we achieve it through our people, even the church. And that is the structure that supports the strategic plan that we have given. And looking at the structure, you see at your left side corner that there is a structure for 2010. I'm not going to talk on the structure, because you are using populating the structure, especially of 2010, because it was approved early this year, because the small structure that we had earlier on has to be revisited. So now having the structure, and only the week that we received the third board team in the structure of 2010, because we only have the government lead DG for 2010 and also and the chief director, non-technical. So we are busy completing the structure. We just appointed the director from the DG. With the structure of the department, as you will all realize, the honorable members that we are going through, restructuring with the integration of the sports commission and the department in the process of integration. So now we are busy populating the structure. We almost finished. We will have appointed everybody in the structure in June. Everybody is accepted by them. So with the structure, I think I'm done. Just to take you through the legislation that we gave to Parliament. The first one is the Safety and Sport Educational Events Bill, which is to ensure the safety of the teachers and helping participating in the sport and sport stadiums, and the year of information. The second one is the South African Institute for Drugs and Sport Amendment Bill. It's also promulgated. And this is make sure that the effective and efficient government by prioritizing law questions and power of the people, and also addressing the sport environment. The third one, also from our case, is the National Sport and Recreation Amendment, which is to bring the Sport and Recreation Act in line with the same sport and recreation governance environment, and to empower the minister to intervene in sport and recreation management. That is all the presentation.
Okay, that two slides is presented in very quick time, but I think we just recognize the fact that if you have the copy before and the rest of it, so we did not go through the process of reading every slide. I think we just highlighted some of the issues. That is our presentation.
Thank you very much. So that we can ready ourselves for the dream that we should be somewhere in the future, somewhere in the future. And the only way we will be able to participate in the after proper direction. This means from you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on page 7, provinces 194, in which these monies were allocated to the division of the new tax. One would like to have perhaps a provincial breakdown of these amounts, because for us in the select committee, as you know, we have found we are representing all provinces here. Thank you for that shipping out the engagement of this class. I don't know what we're seeing. So perhaps in future, or maybe after this meeting, if they can give us a call or a commission later, that would be highly appreciated. Then Chairperson, secondly, the transfer of payments for construction work that takes place, you know, figures and so on. What I wanted to know from the department, are we 100% sure that these funds will be sufficient for the financing, or do we foresee a situation that we will have a shortfall? I don't know what the condition is. And if not so, do we have any other legislation in place that is shortfall for the situation? Then, Chair, let me just check it quick. The other thing that worries me as a chair is that I know that sport is sport on the schedule 5, it's suitable for a winter thing, but I think as a national we have some responsibility to make sure that we create some uniformity throughout the sport system. And then, and the thing, the reason why I'm raising this is that, you know, once you get a little about indigenous sports throughout the country, you keep on mentioning this, but you hardly see anything happening at the grassroots level. And I'm also aware of the fact that there is a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Education and Sports, and we normally visit a lot of schools because we're also dealing with education as a telecom. And one must be honest to say that there's very little going on at the sports level, especially for students and programs. So I don't know if the department is aware of it or how can we assist us to overcome these kind of shortcomings. Chairperson, for now, I think I will just pause there and maybe come up with some more follow-up questions.
I want to see other hands. Yes, please.
Thank you, Now, my problem and my worry is also people living in the village and there's so many times over there. And I think we've talked about it many, many times. And, what is maybe done for our children in the village and to accommodate them? Supply sports equipment and very little has been done, and every year we are in that budget. And it still comes up rural areas, people work in rural areas, the village people live in rural areas, but it's never taken for a year. And then I would like to know, as the director, the DG being appointed for this department, or is it still a deputy, an acting director? And if he was not appointed, if she was not appointed as yet, what influence does it have on the well-being of the child? Me or she? Actually, I would like it to be a she. Thank you.
I'm quite recovered from the next picture on good vision. As someone that just worked with me in the profession of 2020, but we need to also discuss with, we discovered that there are schools who are still, you know, trying or support ground before the kids can go into play there. They are made to pay sports facilities outside the school because why they are making in the school. I'm not sure whether the national sports cannot intervene on such matters because there's an outcry. Kids are paying to play sports but they can't because there are no sports facilities at school and outside schools they are made to pay. My second question is on the kids who are going to host the 2020 games. If the department can tell us how many of these kids are going to host, because as a committee, we must see how many kids are going to host the 2020 games.
Can you get from the
point?
Thank you very much, Chief.
thanks to all the members for the questions. Just in terms of the DORA breakdown, Chair, I think that when we started with the allocating money to provinces for the maximum education program, we were very conscious that, okay, that we had to use right at the beginning the equitable share formula as described by Treasury. A province like some of our provinces would have suffered severely because of that. We have given them so little money that they've not been able to do anything. So we started off for this project by giving equal share to equal allocation to the provinces. I'm just trying to project what we're giving to the provinces for this current financial year. I have a day, there is 194 million that you see on the screen, and that is the breakdown. We've used a mixture of the number of local authorities to every province. We've used the formula of the equitable share formula, but we've given each province also a base amount. So you'll see that the highest, for example, in this financial year goes to KwaZulu-Natal, 37 million, and the province like Northern Cape gets 9 million. If we had equitable share formula, the province like the Northern Cape would have got maybe 2 million or even less. But we thought, you know, that sometimes these formulas don't take into consideration the real situation on the ground. You go to a place like the Northern Cape, one school just is able to play against another school, the distances are severe in the province. So we have, I think, afterwards, with the blessing of Treasury, amended the formula slightly so that the provinces can get a fair share. And as you can see, say, the funds, the money grows to the next financial year to 290 million from the 194 million. And in the outer year of the MTF period, we give a total of 402 million to the provinces, with KwaZulu-Natal getting 81 million, the province of Eastern Cape 61 million, and 15 million goes to the Northern Cape. Now, what we have discovered here is that in some cases, we have more than the budget of the department. In fact, in some instances, we give 60-70%. It will be gone, say, 70% of the department's budget support will come from us through the DORA grant. So I think that, and that is why I mentioned earlier too, I think we've made significant strides in this direction. But this information is available. We can make a printout and let members have this. I think it's important, especially given that you come from the provinces, to which you can make this available. But there it is in front of you to members. The second question was with regard to the shortfall. And many of the members have obviously said, but I think that initially, especially when there was a presentation in Parliament, there was a talk of shortfall, but not only the particular budget, but in terms of what was allocated overall for the stadium. But we all know when people plan a stadium and they're going to be responsible for the stadium, they sometimes plan things that are not necessarily the basic requirements of what the facility. There's too many pros and extra things. Unfortunately, the LOC appointed a very highly competent team to go check, because I think our basic criteria is it must be the FIFA criteria. And people that want to do extra things and so on, the certain people have to pay for it. So we're confident, I think that it was in the papers also, that the funding that was made available is the funding that we need. In the case of, I think, of the stadium in Cape Town, the city managed to get a sponsor to make up the difference, and they've made some agreement. But at this point in time, I don't think the question of whether the money is enough or not is an issue. I think as far as indigenous games are concerned, as far as our department is concerned, we continue to promote indigenous games. In fact, on an annual basis, we have a national indigenous games. We've also assisted the Department of Education to host, also on an annual basis, the schools in business, so I think it's something that is growing again. But one has to keep in mind that when we talk about schools, the challenge is actually very huge when it comes to school sports. And I would refer to some of the other questions also here. We've got more than 28,000 schools in the country. We got quite a bit of money to introduce what we call a school sports mass participation program. With the first year amount of 70 million, we could only reach 798 schools. And if you look at 798 schools versus the 28,000 schools, then you can imagine it's a very long way to go. And you can imagine how much money would be required for us to reach, let's say, 20,000 students. It will be 20 times the amount of money that we have. So it's a challenge it's actually huge. The unfortunate part in our country is that 70% of all schools basically in the tough position that we have. So 798 is really very few when one looks at where we want to be. So on the one hand, it looks as if we've got a lot of extra money from the treasury. On the other hand, if you want to do all the schools, you can imagine how much more they're supposed to give us. So in some areas, and we visited with the minister the area around Springbok earlier this year, and it was actually very heartening to hear what the schools are saying in terms of the difference that we're making and the contribution that we're making in that area. We also realize that having an agreement with the Department of Education is not always an easy thing to work across two departments. The Department of Education sees themselves as the custodians of the school, the schools belong to them. On the other hand, we see ourselves as custodians of sports. And we want to make sure that sports takes place, but to work across two departments is a bit of a difference. There's also a difference of opinion of how we should embark on it. But we're talking to the ministers to make sure that they iron out any issues so that at the end of the day, it's not about the department, but it's about the children who we have to serve. The question about, I think that also relates to the rural areas. We want to say, just to mention for the record here, that our mandate that we gave to the provinces, when we were very closely to use the province in the school, is that we must target the poorest of the poorest schools and the rural schools. So you'll find that we are probably in those areas where there's great need, take in mind that with the money at our disposal, we could only reach a certain number of schools. The current financial year, we've increased it from the 9,798 to just over 1,600 schools we'll be reaching. The question of paying for facilities, we realize that we have a problem at some local level because in some instances, even the facilities built by us are standing locked with people saying you have to pay to get in there. Now we are trying to convince local authorities and we speak at various forums where local authorities come together to say that it doesn't make sense if one level of government tries to find money to make people active and the other level of government wants to make money out of the process. Certainly they must bring something to the party. What we have advised our provinces is that they must decide for the introduction of our program to sign agreement with the local authority that they make their facilities available. So, playing sports is not just for the sake of playing sports. The social benefits, the taking things off the street, and everybody benefits from that, including the local authority. And we go, as we go ahead, meeting them, we try to convince them that it's not in their best interest that kids play outside facilities, where there are facilities that are locked. I mean, I went to a tournament in the Eastern Cape near Berlin, and you find the facility was getting locked, and the tournament was taking place in an open field. That is really not what we want to see. But we're talking to local authorities to address the situation. As far as the cities are concerned, this year, I'll just quickly go through the cities where the stadiums will be built, where games will take place. It's the Queenie, Durban, Port Elizabeth, Cape Town, Bloemfontein, Mbombela, Belfry, Polokwane, Tshwane, Pretoria, Johannesburg, there's got two venues, Ellis Park and the SMG Stadium, and Mafeking, Royal Mafeking Stadium is the other venue where the games will be played. The only problem is that there's no games played is the Northern Cape at this point in time. And I think it's related to the population, far population there, also the available accommodation and facilities. The question was the DC, I'm going to leave that over to Mr. Zari.
Thank you, sir.
Mr.
Thank you, the question of the appointment of the director. The recommendation we made and the decree of the cabinet and ultimately the appointment of Makapu by cabinet. We were only informed yesterday that Makapu was in charge. That impacts negatively to the department the appointment of the DC is the prerogative of the cabinet.
Thank you. We don't want to ask who was But we understand, so the ball is not in line. Or if I'm to back to your own body, I see. Okay. And I told you that the suggestion is that sooner you be the better. Because I see you can, although, I mean, are you active?
Mr. Zani is responsible for all internal matters, and I'm responsible for external forums. I just respond for
it. But I think the point that Mario brings, and I think it is good for the stability of the country, that we have the good type of paper with the country.
Also, the impact is huge because even the COO for the certification, and it cannot be paid before the DC for the team.
Thank you. cabinet, the backlash cabinet, in transferring this 194 million to the public. You want to do that if you have to do that. In the constitution, there's no way where it says that. It's not a concurrent country. It is a provincial country. It is the provinces that must seize the eastern sport to enter it and cater for it. And if they don't cater for it, and that's what you must address. Rather than you taking your media funds where it was said, I'm not putting a body in a vehicle, I'm out of the issue. I don't want to be a concurrent thing, but I was taking care of four in fact. It's not a concurrent party, not a concurrent party. And then we thank the province, and of course also I think you use for quite a bit, there's something on foot for both. This means the provinces, together with local authorities, that must cater and see to it that sports and good people is attended to in the province. And then, I know that in terms of the equitable share, you are right, in terms of the equitable share, when all other departments have been given money, that is the main, then they say, okay, this is for sports, this is for us and culture. You know? And more of them are not given. The provinces themselves are able to, if they think they are not getting enough money, they must be able to engage with the treasure. They must be able to engage with the SMC. So how they get more money for this? Because if there is a people check, I know that there is money, they're not enough. But there is money to bring for sport and this thing. Because this is their function. And they don't give it to sport and money. And that's why by your question. How do we, because for me, I think it is a key problem. We need to think of life. How do we sort out this problem? I'm saying, this is what can do money to the problem. For me, I mean, it's not there. It's not the thing, and it's called the thing. The fire needs that is there. Those problems are not there. But are you going to want to take the problems out every time? When they know it is difficult for the thing, given to them by the constitution. What is it that we can do to see to that the provinces are actually fighting enough for all the education? That's my first issue. The other issue is that I want to raise is you are saying somewhere there's nothing that is targeted for infrastructure. And somewhere that you are not going to say, you are saying the means of saying maybe you can think about that. Who was that from who? From the department, from treasury, and how do you correct that? You see, when you have a report there, you can still have a report and say, there's no money that is proper. The other issue is, I know that government is, for the whole kind of freedom of state, 9 billion. Is the 2 billion or 3 billion here part of the 9 billion that they are giving me yearly or what? It is part of that. You know? The other one is this meat fund. You and I would know that this thing was this thing of putting money into, you know, this municipal infrastructure plan, money for putting participants. If it is not working, the quality is not, because sports and business, it's not that it's not that their priority. Their priorities are roads, water, and all these of things. But still, you put money there. And if it's not able to do what you do, why do you think that you want to be a government? Because there are no sports in the facilities that are still in the game. The game, let alone some of the people. When you look at this money, nothing, absolutely nothing. And of course, sometimes you can't blame them. Because these people need water. Or these people, if you can't even remove to the end, and you want to, you know, the truth back. If they remove rituals or if they beat them the first round, they will always want to remove them. They will always want to provide water. So I am saying, therefore, that this needs thing that this is a grandma who still needs, which is not good. What can we do? Why is it that they are doing? The last one. I'm not here to speak about the half, you know, you're probably talking about this half million because of problems, right? And that was an exciting idea. I'm not here to talk about how this half was now being developed, how they've been expanded, and how many people are now participating as compared to last time when we actually met with you. And this panel also is really interactive. and from there I really, really strong, I would say, of one speech. But there is no transformation in one speech. It looks like at the national level, national spot, there is also proper one. But not just to say, I'm not trying to the lower level, just be like a familiar form, or what you are doing on that. And if it is true that there is no transformation at that level, what do you think that one has come up with? To enforce this transformation without taking the passport. Those are the issues I have to say. The DGs, the AC DGs. Thank you very much.
Kimona, if you have to answer, please feel free to look at any of these outputs. Just in terms of the first question, that there seems to be nothing happening in the rural areas. Okay, and you also touched on something very important, the provinces, one of the provinces today. And I did say to you earlier, say that to the committee, that we made a study of a few years ago of money that the provinces have available, and we realized that some of them had no money for programs. They only have money to appoint people sitting in offices, using the telephone, and that might be for one of our problems.
If my problem is your problem,
it is government programs, and I think we could not wash our hands completely off it, because if nothing happens at the grassroots, the top is not going to change. And that is why we went to Treasury and we made a case. And we said to Treasury, to say that unless we make an intervention at this level, things are not going to change. And we could have said to Treasury, give it to them in an equitable share. But you know what happens there. A lump sum gets given to the province, they decide what the priorities are. And what we know is, hasn't made the case, maybe a strong enough case to be saying this priority. But as one of my colleagues said earlier, it's difficult to argue against building a house or building a sanitation. Against burning of the sporting facility. It's a very difficult argument to make. And therefore, we have managed to say, give it to us through a ring fence manner, which is a conditional grant. And therefore, we managed to get the funding to the provinces. And if we didn't do that, say, I think there would have been very little still happening there, because the provinces don't have the resources to be able to implement programs. And at the same time, say, we realize that we cannot obviously go and implement programs in the provinces by ourselves. And for that reason, we work very closely with them. Therefore, they identify the hubs, they identify the clusters where we go to, schools we go to, and I would invite members that next week, there is a hearing by you, the Finance Committee, the NCOP, so all the provinces come and give account of what they're doing with the DORA grant. Maybe your committee must have a representative there, or a portfolio committee sometimes send a representative, and ask questions to them in terms of, you are responsible for identifying the areas where you must go to. For example, in the Eastern Cape, Mr. Makubalo will probably be here, the MEC will be here, as well as the head of department. And they are the ones to identify. We cannot sit in Pretoria and identify where the program must go. The province do that, we do it. They give that responsibility to them. And maybe the question must be asked is, why are you not in Khartoum? Why are you not in Bizana if you are not in Bizana? But I'm sure say that maybe what will come to is that they are in some of the rural areas, but obviously we are, at the end of the last financial year, we were in a total of 256 hubs across the country. We want to get into 3,000 hubs. So what I'm saying to once again say is that we want, we'd like to get to 3,800 awards in the country, but given the finances at our disposal, we're only at this stage, probably in this financial year, we'll be in something like 350 of the areas across the country. As far as the golf question is concerned, I think members have correctly said that golf is an expensive sport. It's not the cheapest sport that we have in the country. We always fight about the fees that they charge for people to play there, but their argument is that unless we charge fees, we will not be able to maintain and look after the facilities the way they do. But I must also say here that there are signs of progress where a certain organization like the Golf Development Board, like the Golf Foundation, like the Early Earth Foundation, are taking young people on board and assisting them to play the game. We know it's not enough, there needs to be done still here, but they are trying to focus. Anything you wanted to add?
I wanted to, and that's coming from a golfer, being
you
know that he's done his homework. I think I just wanted to add on the issue of the rural areas. I think that's why we've also established the club development program. We also go into the rural areas and try to make some inroads into establishing clubs so that can contribute to the sustainability of sport and recreation in that particular community. However, having said that, we can establish as many clubs as we like around the country. But unless there are people who have sport deep in their heart, who still have a volunteer culture and a commitment to being a volunteer, it's going to be very difficult to ensure that sense of sustainability. Secondly, it's another area where municipalities should be playing a role. And, you know, the municipalities invariably have the facilities where people play sport or participate in recreational type of sport. And so the municipalities need to also step up to the places where they say in America, and meet their commitments to the local communities. And it needs to be demand-driven. There has to be a demand for sport and recreation in that particular community so that there is a response from the people who are representing them to ensure that their sport and recreation is still happening. Last financial year, the provinces who have received grants have spent 87.5% of the grant that was actually available, which gives also an indication that there's a lack of capacity or a lack of commitment. I'm not sure which is in the provinces. And the minister was very clear yesterday that if there is not delivery happening in the provinces, we will be taking the grant away and putting it into areas where it will be spent so that we don't get money spending on those particular grants. And I think through the network that your committee has, Chairperson, it's going to be quite important for us to work closely together to ensure that we don't take grants away from provinces in need, and that we perhaps transfer it to other areas within that province to ensure that it still benefits that province.
That's what you're saying. Let's make it a provincial need for all members of the panel for the FDA. And I just want to make it a clear that in our interaction with the people of the story, that was a very sharp meeting for each of us, the budget was for the FDA. That shows it to the country that this is an important thing, they can't run away from it. And therefore, in the future, we'll share the money duty there for them to be able to do this facility, for them to be able to support the sport. So that is coming from management, to document that which they are doing. Because if they're not doing things, they are not adhering to the constitution of the country. Now that's not in the position. Let us finally, when we meet with them, be able to, we are going to do that, right? We're going to do that, we need, especially when we meet with the media. Especially when we saw the students and the youth, in fact, they have pressure. They say they're not good enough money to support them and their basic. And I must say that there's a letter that does with GPA, you know, a copy of a letter that comes from the Department of National Education, the GPA. This whole question of the Department of Education, the Department of Education, the policy, not taking very seriously the whole question of sport, we raise it with the Department of Education. Now the GPA is going to support them, so our field. And this is what it is for. Among other things, of course, they've shown that all the provinces, I mean, since this memorandum of understanding, they have paid all the spend more than 50 million in the current schemes and current schemes. There's a breakdown here that you see among each province the same thing. But it seems very negative. It's too small, given the demand out there. It's too little, 50 million. In fact, one province, for instance, in London City, has spent 500,000, half a million. The other side of the province has spent a little bit of money, but half a million. And of course, it can take 1 million. Of course, the same, but that's what this letter has been. They will never finish it all the time. So that is the response of the Department of Education on our question from them that you are not doing enough. So this is how it is. I'm saying you're saying that the title of the interview is not coming to the hand. when you are trying, especially with computer support, you are supposed to be welcome to Mark.
Yes, thank you, sir. I think I'd just like to add to what you're saying is that obviously we know our situation in terms of where you come from, the conditions of school, the great divide and the great discrepancy between what we have in different schools in the country. And if you look at that and you look at what a country, a first world country like the UK is spending on school sports, something like £1 billion on school sports. And they realized here that British sport has deteriorated over many years because they didn't focus on sport in school. They went back, put £1 billion into it there. And I think if you can just think of £1 billion compared to what we put in it, given our backlog, then we must really get serious if we want to make a difference in sport in the country. There were a few questions I'd like Mr. Matlana maybe to respond to. In terms of the finances, Mr. McCullough.
Thank you. The organization is on the transfer payment. The transfer payment can be divided into two. One of the transfer payments is the one that is given about the provincial grant, which goes to the province of the Baylor project. And the other transfer payment, which is the bulk of the transfer payment, is the money for the construction of the stadium. For this current year, is 2.7 billion. But it built up the following year, 2.7 billion, 1.9 billion in 2009-10. And then it will amount to 8.4 billion. So the 2.7 billion is only for this current financial year. And there is an allocation for each of the following 2 years, or until the MCA of 2010. If you go to the slide, the first slide, then you see that the first slide is showing the 2010 2000 World Cup view. It shows you the amount up to 2010. The first slide of the budget.
Other question, one of them was with regard to Love Life, the honorable members. Love Life, it's a old question of us dealing with Love Life as a bit of history. The Love Life program was introduced in the country and it was mainly done through the Department of Health. It was an agreement signed between the Kaiser Foundation in the United States with the President and with the understanding that that foundation would give a certain amount of money. For every rand that we give, they will give 3 rand. And on that basis, the Love Life program was started in the country. That ratio has changed countries. But what has happened is that when they identified the different projects that they were working with, school sport was one of them. And they just ran the program completely away from us, with the Department of Health as the lead department at that point in time. After 3 years of the program, it was decided, let's work closer with the Life Function Department. They then transferred the money to the different Life Fund departments, the our Department of Health and Department of Social Development. From our perspective here, we obviously welcomed it at that point in time because it helped us to consolidate and to expand school programs in schools which we did not have at that point in time. And that was a major attraction to us. Obviously, their main purpose is not to get our school sports. Their main purpose is to intervene and to do an intervention that will help decrease the prevalence of HIV and AIDS amongst young people. Now, I think it's very difficult for any organization in this country to claim that they're making a difference or that they are different making the difference, because there's quite a few countries, and often one sees that it's not getting better, the situation is getting worse. But as far as we're concerned, I think our understanding was always that by having sports programs, it's sponsored for young people, it takes them off the street, and as such, we believe it makes a difference. I think that is why we welcome the program, sir. But Love Life does often get independent to do studies of whether they make a difference, And they obviously claim that they are making a difference as far as the disease is concerned. But as all of us know here, that it's one of the difficult, areas in our society at the moment. And for anybody to claim that they are the ones to make a difference is tough at this point in time. I've not seen any conclusive studies that have shown that there is a rapid decline in the prevalence of AIDS in the country. But I think that I can really say nothing more than that at this point in time. Also that they are not responsible for the day. They do programs for young people. They target young people between the ages of 12 and 17 for programs. Their main message is that they want to give young people something to aspire for, positive lifestyles, and hopefully could change maybe their sexual behavior also. As far as sexual is concerned, I think what has happened here is with the sexual budget. Before, there was no different item as saying sex popular budget. What happened in the last financial year was split into money for federations and SATCOM. But the funding that we have under federations normally also looks after SATCOM. But it gave us the opportunity to say, now we can go back to Treasury to see if they can't give us additional money so that we can maybe also sort SATCOM out separately. If we're not, we'll have to take the money that we have on the transfer payments to federations and meet our obligations towards SATCOM in this regard. Big funding. See, I think we've come to the committee since the decision was taken that the money that we have under building for sports, we felt it was a mistake. It was taken away from our department and put into the big funding because we knew that if local authorities must decide, they're not going to decide on facilities. They choose between a library, they choose the water sanitation, a graveyard, they're going to choose the other things. And I think that fact has been borne out to date. And we met earlier in the year with Treasury. For the first time, we admitted it was probably a mistake. We are now preparing a cabinet memorandum, honorable members, to say to cabinet that we may not maybe reverse the situation. Otherwise, the backlog that we have for sports and recreation facilities in the country will not be wiped out. As far as the hubs are concerned here, I think that maybe we didn't go into detail, but the number of hubs are growing as we go across the country. We, as I said to you last year, we are over 256 hubs. I'm sure that we will achieve 350 hubs in this current financial year. I don't have the details, unfortunately, with me, but the number of hubs are growing in the country. I also said to you we want to be 3,800 hubs, so our challenge is quite tough. I really didn't want to enter the rugby panel, but being that you wanted an opinion from us, we will give you an opinion. I think that if one looks, you correctly said that if one looks at our rugby teams under 19 teams, under 21 teams, you can see it's beginning to represent the nation as far as the young people are concerned. The problem is that those young people seem to disappear after they move out of the 21 area. And the challenge is that for us to find what are the impediments, why do we have this glass ceiling for black players when it comes to them promoting to the senior national team. 2 nights ago, the president of Saru mentioned a figure that the team that will present to the World Cup now is not going to be their own objectives of what they want to say. It's not going to be as representative as they want to. But obviously now they say that the next World Cup they will reach. I think that, as far as it's concerned, there need to be a sort of soul searching by Saru. What are the bottlenecks? What are the impediments that prevent our players from getting to the top? And we will engage with them on this particular. But I think it's a question of we must see this as a partnership and see what we can do first from where we come from to be able to clear the bottlenecks, to clear this glass ceiling. Maybe we must start speaking to the players to find what is it, where do they go to the race to? Where is the under 21? They played in the final, and all of a sudden we don't see them anymore. It's maybe something that we have to do from our side here. The 9 billion rand we referred to, I think the total amount for facilities is 8.4 billion. The amount that you see broken down here over the years, starting with the 600,000 rand last year, is part of the 8.4 billion rand. In total for facilities over the MTE period. Thank you. Anybody else from the team? Oh.
the history of the CTEC, it was sometimes in the year of the
I think the old world realized that the question of access to stadiums at this major event is problematic. Because if you look at what happened in Germany in the last World Cup, there were 60,000 people in the stadium there, and there were million people outside wanting to get in. What they did, this is the first time they successfully in Germany, they started the whole idea of the fan pass. And in the fan pass, if you watch them, in some of the same parts, there were more than a million people watching out of the ground. The ground can only take 60 or 40 or 50,000. But most of the people that created the atmosphere are those people that were in Germany, fell like it was even sometimes better to be there in the same part than to be in the ground. And that is what has been created now. The same part, it is much cheaper to get in there, it is much more accessible for people, and they also create a World Cup atmosphere out there to be able to cater for those people. The reality is that even if we say we can get all the tickets for the tickets, it will only be 3 million. Even if we get all the tickets, and the 3 million are for all the games, it means that there will still be 44,000 million people that will not get into the ground. And I think that is why it is catered for in the way that they do in terms of the fan parks and so on. I mean, I've got maybe 30, 40 phone calls of this week for people saying, please use your office, the minister's office, to try and get us to the rugby on Saturday. We couldn't get any tickets for the rugby on Saturday. A thousand people that want to go, but there's only so many tickets. They sold out. People started to sleep there from Sunday afternoon. They queued until Monday morning to be able to get tickets. 1 o'clock, it was all sold out. That's the reality. There's a demand. There's only so many people that can go in there. I think this will be great. We obviously don't want to see empty stadiums like we saw in the West Indies cricket. And we don't think it's going to be a problem when it comes to 2010. Okay, I think that there's no doubt in the minds of South Africans that most South Africans have to be ready. In fact, our president said very clearly that we have to host the best World Cup ever. And I think from our side, given the progress report that we received, there's no doubt that we will be ready for the World Cup. The stadium is on track. In fact, you must have also heard LOC said more than one occasion we are ahead of where Germany was at the same stage in preparation for the World Cup. And there's no doubt on our side that come 2010 we will be ready for the World Cup.
I'm going to go to the hospital. One body. You see, 80%
tell you at the high level. Let me tell you what you think of money. But what I'm saying is that you get.
Just from outside, I think what we really want to bring across now is the commitment from us to build those solutions. As you must just understand, see here how people are going every day for interviews, sitting on panels. Some people are talking tired of panels already, but it's happening on a daily basis, their interviews. And not only one panel, sometimes two, three panels, if you are doing the interviews at the same time. No, it's not in our panels are put together with representatives from the department and also from other departments, policy and advisors to serve on the panel.
Typically,
the
panel we have 400 people denying posts in the department in our panel, and we have 100 people for one body.
Well, then you give your time right away. Because you are going to be out of jail before 4 o'clock. And let me take this opportunity to thank the department, the full execution, and the whole effort for the presentation of the ministry. I think it was a good day. Thank you very much.